Listen up, people. Over the years, I've learned how important hydration is in my workouts and everyday life. It's the key to helping my body move, recover, and just have a good time when I'm exercising and staying active. Things go even better when I'm well hydrated before I even start moving. Noom Hydration doesn't want you to wait to hydrate. They want you to start hydrated. Noom Sport Hydration Tablets hydrate better than water alone. Just drop them in your water, dissolve, and enjoy. They contain 5 essential electrolytes and come in crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade, lemon lime, and many more. They also have non-GMO vegan and gluten-free ingredients and only 1 gram of sugar. Noom hydrates you so you can do more, go further, and recover faster. And that means you can have a heck of a lot more fun. Since hydrated humans have the most fun, head over to shop now on noonlife.com and pick some up today so you're ready for anything. Because anything can happen after noon.
There are 2 things that are absolutely true. Grandma loves you, and she would never say no to McDonald's. So treat yourself to a Grandma McFlurry with your order today. It's what Grandma would want. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's for a limited time.
This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins the national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
We got Will the Wolf Whitson in studio producing today, so I don't know whether or not C-Unit really enjoyed this as Spinal Tap. I guess we'll wait for him to be in the chair to produce tomorrow or the day after. I know he's got a remote that he's at today. Wolf, have you ever heard of This Is Spinal Tap?
No, I have not, so unfortunately.
You know what this movie is, so we can't get into a conversation with him about it, Matt. That's unfortunate.
Have you heard of Pop Star Never Stop Stopping?
Is that a movie or a song?
There you go.
There's your answer.
Enough said, right?
That is definitely your answer. So at some point, we've got to get the Wolf in on some of these halftime homework episodes because we're trying to educate C-Unit. He's 10 years older than Will is.
You've heard of One Direction.
Yes.
There you go.
Of course.
So that's a
spoof. That's where the line stops. That's where he starts teaching us. But yeah, that's
well, I was kind of, that was honestly, that was a little bit before my time. I'm also like a guy, so I wasn't like a big.
Define to me when, quote, your time, unquote, began.
My time. See, I want to say,
like, Matt, what do you say? My time. I'm born in 1977.
He's a 06 baby, I think.
My time probably started at about 84. That's when I really start remembering.
See, I'm a 83 baby, so I'm about 92, mm-hmm. 95, somewhere in there is where my pop culture starts, I guess, okay, so to speak.
Really, I started to get my consciousness at about like 4 or 5. That's when I can really remember a lot of stuff.
Wow, man, you remember a lot of stuff that I wouldn't. But then again, maybe I did a few years ago. There have been a few reasons why I might forget things now.
Yeah,
old age, one of them.
So I want to say One Direction was, that was.
Not that you're into him. I'm just asking that you know him, because that's that's kind of the
posters of him on the wall.
Is it Liam, Zayn, or Harry? Who do you like?
All three of them.
There's no wrong answer.
No. I'll say Harry, because Harry was the one. Isn't Harry the one that called the hogs whenever he was here?
That's right. Yes.
He's the Timberlake.
Not only did he call the hogs, but then he said, that was fantastic.
Yeah, I'll go with Harry.
Accent there.
Yeah, he's the Justin Timberlake of the NSYNC. He was the one. That's right.
Nobody broke out from Backstreet Boys. Did you?
Nick Lachey had his Miller Lite thing. I mean, you called him Pass Me a Nick Lachey. Like he whatever his marketing was right there.
He was more famous for who he married.
That's true. That they had they were one of the first ones to have that reality show going. He said, "Well, is it chicken of the sea or is it tuna of the air? How does this work?"
Will, have you ever heard of New Kids on the Block?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah,
you've heard of New Kids on the Block. Okay, do you know any of their songs?
No,
Hanging Tough.
Maybe if I heard them, I could recognize them.
I was going to say there's nothing wrong with not knowing any of their songs. It would actually be it might be a good thing for you if you've never heard of any of their songs.
Yeah, I've heard of the band. Never heard a song, I don't think.
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch?
Will, have you ever heard of the Jackson 5, a small group that spurned a few careers?
Underground band, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So it's just going down the ages here of the boy. But Will, have you ever heard of the Supremes?
Yes, actually.
Kind of the precursor to Destiny's Child in many ways.
Gladys Knight and the Pips. I heard Denzel Washington was one of the Pips for a while. That's how he got started dancing a little bit for Gladys Knight.
I thought that was my nickname.
Well, PCP, that works as well.
That works too. Yeah, Pips and Joy as well. Red says Nick Lachey was 98 degrees.
You said Jessica Simpson. Yeah, that's him.
I guess your understanding of things started at about what, 2002 then, right? If you don't know, Nick Lachey was at 98 degrees.
What did I say, 96 degrees?
98.6 degrees, I think is what it was. Brandon says I'm more Milli Vanilli. Well, watch as I lip sync you into the break.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, go-getters. Let Noom Sport Hydration Tablets power up your fun and keep you ready to move. Simply drop, dissolve, and enjoy crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade or lemon lime. With 5 essential electrolytes and crafted with clean, non-GMO, vegan, and gluten-free ingredients, Noom should be your go-to hydration choice. Because when you're hydrated, you can do more, go further, and recover quicker. Shop now on noonlife.com and get ready for endless fun, because anything can happen after noon.
There are two things that are absolutely true. Grandma loves you, and she would never say no to McDonald's. So treat yourself to a Grandma McFlurry with your order today. It's what Grandma would want. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's for a limited time.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Phil Elson with Matt Jones, got the Wolf, Will Whitson producing. We'll have Mike Irwin from Pig Trail Nation in about 15 minutes. Calls and texts come in on the McLarty Daniel hotline, 877-377-6963. Got a text in here, Ben in Fayetteville asking, and this is a question that you've seen throughout social media recently about whether or not should still be the coach at the University of Arkansas. Ben pointing to a 47-42 SEC record, wondering if Musk should be worth the money. 11th highest paid coach in the NCAA, biggest home loss in Bud Walton, 2 winning SEC seasons, no Arkansas players on the roster. That to me feels more like a forward-looking text and a forward-looking opinion that it's not a program that's going to have any more success in March, which is, I guess, what college basketball more or less is supposed to be about. Like, what if Arkansas was in the position that Auburn is in right now, winning an SEC tournament and then going 1-out, or Kentucky having the sort of season that they had this year, in which it looked like they had the stuff to win a national title, go one and out. Those are all teams that had great SEC seasons. One of them won a tournament. I guess it's a matter of where does the success lie and what success is it that you remember, too. And look, I view it differently from like the baseball conversation with Dave Van Horn, because there normally is postseason success in getting to the College World Series. Last year, obviously, it didn't happen. Didn't advance out of your first out of your regional. But that's also not the track record of the program. There's usually postseason success that goes along with regular season success. And Matt, I mean, I don't sit here and turn this into a conversation of what success would you rather have? Regular, do you want to be four games over in the SEC and then go one and out or two and out? Or does the postseason success seem to matter a little bit more? And I think that's what it's about. That's what they raise in the rafters. You can win an SEC championship, win an SEC tournament, they'll raise that in the rafters. But it's the Elite Eight, it's the Sweet 16s, and I think in everybody's mindset, eventually, hopefully a Final Four and playing for a national title that's at the front of your mind. And the trust that he puts a talented roster together that doesn't flop the way that this one did. I don't look at the regular season from 2 years ago as a flop, because I think there was a lot of youth there that eventually did show itself in the tournament, and then the injury to Nick Smith. But, I mean, it's a valid point. It is a valid point. I think Muss is a better coach than five games over 500 in the SEC, but you also are what your record says. But if that's true, your record also says you're a pretty good coach in March.
Yeah, I think Coach Muss is a top 20 coach in college basketball. I think we're lucky to have him. This year, you know, as a competitor, being raised by a coach, you know, playing at the highest level, it's not easy to get there. It's not easy to stay there. You got to work at it. You know, if it was easy, everybody would do it. And I bet you, I mean, every time you lose, Phil, man, it's just a bad day. It's a bad week. You're competing. You're trying to win. I think he'll try to figure it out. I think this Arkansas basketball team would be better next year. You have some nice pieces coming back, man. I think you could have the leading scorer in the SEC, if not a top five scorer. But what does that translate to? It translated to 2-4 in that six-game stretch when Battle was dominating. Got to get an inside presence. That's the other thing about this team. Anytime that we just got pushed around too much, you know, got pushed around, made us like it. And you brought that up, that worst home loss in the history of Bud Walton. So yeah, his name's attached to that. No question about it. But you know, the Elite Eights, the Sweet 16s, this year was just a down year. And I think the only way you answer that question, Phil, would be, let's say we did this again next year. Let's say we go one game under 500 next year.
Don't make March Madness. Now you're talking about 2 years in a row. Now there's a problem.
Then you got to have a different type of sit down.
I mean, it is the same coach that went 26-9 in the SEC and made the Elite Eight 2 years in a row. So, I mean, those seasons also do stand for themselves. But, I mean, you can also point to seeing success in the league under Mike Anderson and not winning enough games in March to stick around as the head coach any longer. So you just haven't had both of those in the last 2 years. That's all. The Elite Eight teams, they won 13 SEC games. Those are two seasons worth.
That should tell you a little bit. You know, that tells you how good you are. You got a little talent on those teams. You have some NBA guys on your roster. This team was lacking with talent. You got to go out there and get it. Now, I do think we're falling behind. I think it's a big misstep in the program's culture and the program's history and what you're trying to do to shut out the Arkansas and to shut out the in-state kids. I do not understand how you do not embrace that. There's talent. I'm not, and that's the other thing. It's not like I'm like, you should take an in-state kid, but he's not good enough. No, they are good enough. They go off and compete and play at other colleges and contribute. To keep losing your in-state talent.
Yeah.
I think that's tough, Phil. I mean, you got to remember Arkansas, man. Embrace the state.
And I just don't know if that changes for next year, you know, unless you get to convince, you know, I haven't scoured the portal long enough to know, you know, what the situation is as far as kids that are from Arkansas that are in the portal from other programs. You know, are those the ones you go to look for just because they're from Arkansas? You know, they got to be really good. They got to play here. They got to play, and they got to play well here. And it's not like your incoming class is filled with Arkansans either. So I don't know if that changes this next year. Hopefully the wins and the losses do change quite a bit. Take a call from Charlie on the McLarty Daniel hotline. Charlie, what's going on today?
What's up, guys? Matt, I'm with you, man. I mean, the thing that probably frustrates me the most about social media is, you know, before this year, there was no way we were even close to having this conversation. You know, it's like one bad season or something. And look, I get it. You know, everybody, you can't please everyone. And there's certain people that, you know, are not going to be happy either way. Phil, I will say for me personally, I would rather have this success in March and be playing your best ball towards the end of the year. And I understand, you know, 47 and 42 in the SEC, maybe, you know, not up to our standard, but guys, it's not like there are a bunch of Coach K's out there growing on trees. I mean, this guy's the top coach in college basketball. I mean, we're not going to let him go. That's what people don't understand. I think people think we're just going to let him go. Some people, not you guys, but we're just going to, Mus is just going to go, and we're just going to go grab somebody, and he's going to be better. And I just don't see that personally. But anyway,
well, look, Charlie, he's not a perfect coach. None of these have been perfect teams.
Nobody.
Same with the baseball team. I mean, there is always going to be a fly in the ointment. Always.
Yep.
Unless you win the national championship, there's always a fly in the ointment. And that's okay. They understand that yep. too.
Absolutely. You're right, Phil. I mean, there's all, and I think the thing that Mus is great at is preparation. That's what makes him good, you know, between games. Like, if he had that Kentucky team the other day, this is just my personal opinion. I think Cal is a good coach, but I don't think they lose that game the other day against that team just because of the preparation standpoint. I don't know if Cal, that's not, maybe not his strength per se. But anyway, as far as this baseball team goes, Phil, you know, everybody's kind of up and on. Look, they lost one game. You know, they played a great series. I mean, on the road at Auburn, who was, in my opinion, a really talented team. And, you know, they got some talent, even though they're one and whatever they are in the SEC. You know, hey, to win two out of three on the road, you know, eventually adversity was going to happen. I want to see how they respond. And I think they will respond. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you very much, Charlie. Good to hear from you. I think it's a team that does respond for the most part, because if you talk about like an answer back inning, Auburn scored in 7 innings this last week. The Razorbacks scored in the next half inning 5 times. That's an answer back team. That's a team that I think can respond. But how do you respond after blowing a 4-run lead on the road in the 6th inning? Well, we'll find out tomorrow, and I think you find out more starting Thursday against LSU.
Eastside Liquor in Fort Smith has St. Patrick's Day specials going on right now. Shanky's Whip for $27.99. Proper 12 Apple for $29.99. Single Malt for $38.99. Blended for $28.99. Jameson Orange, 750 milliliters for $25.99. And for 1.75 liters, $52.99. Redbreast Cask Strength for a new low price of $99.99. In Irish Creams, St. Brendan's, 750 milliliters for $14.99, 1.75 liters for $27.99, and a new salted caramel for $14.99. Carolyn's Peanut Butter for $17.99, Bailey's Vanilla Mint Shake for $29.99, and a new flavor, chocolate, $29.99, and Five Farms for $29.99. Now, back to the podcast.
The tournament is here. BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contests out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up to the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile device and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here.
All guests join us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline, and that's where we have Mike Irwin from Pig Trail Nation here on a Monday afternoon. I was going to say good morning after I said good afternoon there. Mike, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm very good.
Good, man. I'm still screwed up from actually having a weekend. We got into a conversation last segment about Mus as the Arkansas head coach. And, you know, I think most fans are of the opinion that they would like him to remain the coach here. There is a vocal minority that would rather not. and they point to just not having a great SEC record. But I see two 13-win seasons in the SEC. Those two teams went to the Elite Eight. The season before, not great in the regular season, still won two games in the postseason, which was nice. This year, we're hoping it's a one-off. And I think most of the fans would like Musk to remain as the head coach. And the further we go into this offseason, the more I still think he's going to be the head coach moving forward.
Yeah, I got into a little back and forth on X about this with some of the fans, and it really started with, I just made the observation that Bruce Pearl said, hey, we're going to win 9 straight playoff games, and he came up 6 short, which is accurate. I was trying to point out the difference between winning a conference tournament and the NCAA tournament, because you have to do a total reset, and they clearly didn't do it. But somebody popped off and said, yeah, but they still beat Arkansas by 30, and I pointed out, and they ended up with the same number of NCAA tournament wins as Arkansas, 0. And that devolved into you're defending Musk, you're trying to protect him, you're doing what the athletic department's telling you to do, all that nonsense. And some guy said, you're just making excuses for him. And I said, what excuse does he need? From 2004 to 2019, a 15-year period, Arkansas won 3 NCAA tournament games. 3. And in 3 years, Musselman managed to win 8 in 3 years. He more than doubled that number. So what excuse does he need? And then it devolved into some of these fans saying, well, there's no trophies. Haven't won the SEC. Haven't won a conference tournament. I'm like, what? And it just stunned me that there apparently are at least some fans out there that would rather see that than success in the NCAA tournament, which to me is insane. The NCAA tournament is what college basketball is all about. The farther you go, the better you are. And I think most Arkansas fans agree with that, but apparently a few don't. And I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I still hear stuff. He's going to decide between Louisville and SMU. He has his choice and blah, blah, blah. I don't have sources that are telling me he's gone, but that doesn't mean he's not. But I do think it would put Arkansas in a bind if he left, absolutely.
I would have a heck of a lot of trouble believing that he'd leave for SMU. Louisville, I view differently. They've won national titles there. They have a real fan base. They're not being welcomed into a league just because of their geography. I don't buy SMU. They have all the money in the world. They have no fans, and it's just not. To me, it doesn't have any sort of gravitas to it. Money or not, ACC or not, I don't buy that.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm not going to say it couldn't happen because I don't know. My basic instinct sitting here right now is he's not going anywhere, but it does bother me that nobody's talking. I would think somebody at some point somebody said to me last night, well, he didn't talk for 2 or 3 weeks after the end of the season last year. He's busy recruiting, and I'm going, yeah, but you didn't have all this talk. And so the issue becomes, do you have to respond when it's all over the place that you may be leaving? And I understand what some people are saying. You don't owe anybody anything, but maybe you do. Just let the fans, who most of them are very supportive, let them know, hey, no, I'm not going anywhere.
What about the one side? Now, I'm very thankful Coach Musk is our coach. I like Coach Musk. I think he's getting it done. It's just a down year. But what about the talk about no Arkansas kids up there and having some Arkansas guys and kind of, I don't know that you're turning your back on the state, but there doesn't seem to be like he's embracing the state. And it's kind of hard if you're going to go out and ask for money and do things like that and you have no Arkansas kids on the roster.
Yeah, that's a legitimate criticism. It's something I certainly think is worth talking about because he's had several come in and then they're like gone. And some of them have gone on to play well at other places. And it's almost like he doesn't share that view that so many other coaches have, that you need to have at least a kind of a base of Arkansas players that you can fall back on. You know, like, you know, most programs, I don't care what sports you're talking about, they may not be overrun with Arkansas kids, but you've had Devo for all this time. Well, do you need another one? And a lot of people are upset that Blocker left because they're saying, hey, he's going to, in time, he's going to be a great player. And the other complaint is that Musk doesn't develop anybody. He just brings in talent and lets them win. And I just think the attitude of most fans is he gets you into the tournament, he gets you deep into the tournament. This year is kind of a one-time thing, and so they just, I don't think they think these are major issues.
Doesn't
develop talent? I saw four guys off last year's team that are in the NBA right now.
Hey, Mikal Mitchell, he got better as the year went on.
Yeah, what they're saying is he doesn't bring in a freshman and give them time to develop. Mm. If they don't immediately do something, it's like, okay, go away, and I'm bringing in another one. But your point is accurate in that the players that have been here and have played have gone on and done very well. But there's just this thing he doesn't want to take a freshman and turn him into a sophomore and a junior. It's not the process fans are familiar with, but that's just this whole portal thing. I mean, Mike Nabors just got through having a press conference last week where he said, my biggest problem is I've been trying to recruit freshmen and develop them, and I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to go to the portal because that's what everybody else is doing. It's a quicker fix. It's an easier fix, and I'm going to do it now. So I can't hardly fault him for that approach.
Hey, Mike, I, as far as how the tournament's going, who you still think UConn? Who do you think is going to win it after watching this opening weekend?
Well, I think the way Houston survived what could have been a disaster with A&M, I think that may – sometimes when you get shocked like that, gee whiz, those guys were up 8 with a minute 14 left, and then they just – a series of screw-ups. They had a free throw they missed. They had a turnover. Aggies hit a couple of threes, and so they end up going into overtime on a shot with a second left. But then they reset and pretty much were – you know, I don't think they were seriously threatened in overtime. So sometimes when you survive that, and that could have been the one upset. This is a rare year, guys, where the 1 and 2 seeds from all four regions are in the Sweet 16. That almost never happens. So there have been upsets, but not to the top teams. And to me, it makes where we're going from here on more interesting. So I might go with them. I've always liked Kelvin Sampson. I thought they took what could have been a disaster and reset themselves in overtime, and now they're still playing.
What do you think about only two SEC teams that have made it to the Sweet 16? Big 12 has two, ACC's got three, Big East has three in there. It's more the first round losses than anything else. That's just an awful look for this league. And I mean, South Carolina losing Oregon, that's one thing. That's a hot Oregon team. That won their conference championship, but Kentucky shouldn't be losing. Auburn should not have lost. There were some real bad showings out there. It's first-round losses more than anything that look really bad for a league.
Yeah, I noticed that Bruce Pearl today apologized, or maybe he did that. I just read about it today and apologized for him for not, you know, he said, we were the SEC tournament champions. We should have played better. But that was part of the problem, guys. I'm not surprised by that loss. It is the process that you go through to win your conference tournament is like a mini NCAA tournament. You just do it half the games in 3 days, and then you hey, man, we've done this, and you kind of sit back, and then you have to come down from that, and then you got to do a total reset, and most of the time it's going to be against a 14 or a 13 seed. And no matter what you say, your players are not going to walk into that game going, oh, we better watch out. And they weren't really in trouble until about midway through the second half, and they never got down big. It went nuts for them at the end. They really had a chance to win it. I mean, under the basket, they missed a layup that could have tied the game. They had a block shot. They got another rebound, kicked it out, shot a three that didn't go. And, I mean, you lose. I mean, I wasn't shocked by that. That's all I'm saying. The Kentucky loss surprised me because they had it all set up. They beat Alabama, Mississippi State on the road. They beat Arkansas, Vanderbilt, and Tennessee on the road. They had all this momentum going into the tournament. Okay, fine, you lose in the first round of the SEC tournament to the Aggies. Big deal. I don't care about that. Just go home and reset and get ready to go. And what do?
They have one thing they have to do. They're going up against a team that has great three-point shooters, one in particular, and what do? They let that team shoot 48% from three-point range, and they get beat. And they also got out-rebounded. That's why people are so mad at Calipari right now. It's like he didn't really prepare them for this game.
That was an egg. I was surprised as far as the SEC going 2-6. As far as two teams making it to this second weekend, that was surprising to me.
Yeah, I thought they'd do better than that. South Carolina, I just felt all year long they were probably underrated. I was real impressed with them, but toward the end of the year, they started having a few problems. But he's got that program going. I think they're a good team. It just happens. I don't know. We're fixing to do a program the night before the Final Four this year where we go and do a reflective back on the 94 championship team. We're talking to Nolan. We're talking to Scotty Thurman. We're talking to Big Nasty. We're talking to the trainer on that team because he was such a big, important part of that. And one of the things you know when you sit down and you examine every one of those games is you start to understand how hard it is to win a national championship because each one of those games takes on a life of their own. And you have to reset after every one of those games. You can't just – there's no momentum baloney. It starts all over again because, as Corey Beck told me years ago, he said, every time you step on the floor with some other team in the NCAA tournament, it's do or die. They know their season's over if they lose, and they will commit suicide almost not to let you beat them. They will play better than you think they can play, and you have to do that too. And it just takes so much to win it all. So many good teams. You could just, year by year, you could go look at the tournament, and teams that didn't win it, that could have won it or should have won it or whatever, and it just takes a very special set of circumstances to win that whole thing.
Hey, Mike, now that you mentioned that, I went back and looked. Today is the 30th anniversary of the Sweet 16 victory in that tournament over Tulsa. Do you remember much out of that game?
Well, I remember that the first Tulsa game was close, and so they came back and just, I thought they pretty much dominated in that game. They were, of course, it helps. One thing that helped that team, they played in Oklahoma City, Dallas,
yeah,
for those first two rounds. And I think that you had a lot of fans in both places. But the one that impressed me was the one after that with Michigan. Because, you know, Michigan had that reputation at that time, and you're thinking, whoa, I don't know, these are some bad boys you're going up against. But there were games when they played half court, games when they played up-tempo, games when they played their typical defense to create offense, games when they said, no, we can sit back and rebound with you and play. That team was built to play any style of basketball it had to play.
Mike, we'll leave it there. Appreciate you hopping on as always. Thank you so much, and we'll reconvene on Monday next week, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Mike.
It's Mike Irwin, Pig Trail Nation. All guests join us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline, and you can do the same if you want to call 877-377-6963. International Whiskey Day is coming up on Wednesday. That sounds like a lot of fun. Pick out something from Grandpa's stash at Twin Peaks and Rogers to celebrate International Whiskey Day. And it's also where you can get yourself great food, great drinks, 29-degree draft beer made from scratch fan favorites. And, of course, they'll have basketball or baseball right now blasting from every single angle. That's Twin Peaks in Rogers, or you can get the ultimate experience to go online at TwinPeaksRestaurant.com. They'll do delivery. They'll do pickup as well. More TVs, bigger screens, and scenic views. More to watch at Twin Peaks. Halftime is back in just a moment.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift, selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag price. Now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Town Russell.
Hickey & Hull Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey & Hull Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Back on halftime here, I was looking back. I think I'd mentioned this last week. With Arkansas beating Auburn 2 out of 3, the Hogs have now won, where's my note here, 16 of the last 19 series against West Division teams. That goes back to the start of the 2021 season. If you go back to 2018, they've won 19 of 24 series in the SEC. In fact, they've got 33 more wins than losses against SEC West teams since 2018. 63 wins and 30 defeats. And you almost had a sweep against Auburn this last time. Now you play an LSU, a team. Well, you play Little Rock first. This and by the way, tomorrow's a 3 o'clock game. That's been changed from 6:30. That decision, well, I don't know about the decision, but the announcement came out. It was right as I was finished recording bases loaded, so that would be 10:30, so it's still pretty fresh. I guess it's supposed to be about 38, 39 degrees at some point tomorrow night, so it's one thing I love about college baseball. You can move a start time up, especially if it's not on linear television. These games with Little Rock are usually pretty crazy. Hogs are 4-2 all-time against the Trojans. Listen to the scores of these games. The closest score, 7-2, an Arkansas win. The Hogs have won games 10-3, 16-8, and 21-5. They've lost 11-4 and 17-7. So there's usually about an 8-9 run difference in a win or a loss in the 6 games between these two teams. And Little Rock's blown Arkansas out twice. So, and it's a different looking team this year, and I guess we're waiting to find out who's going to pitch for the Razorbacks. I think I expect that you may see Hunter Dietz and or Ben Bibee at some point tomorrow. I know David mentioned after Saturday's loss that there are a couple of pitchers, he didn't say names, but there are a couple of pitchers that they're hoping to throw this weekend against LSU if they look good against Little Rock. So that to me would be Bibee and Dietz. So that's certainly something to look forward to tomorrow, and Matt won't have to freeze my butt off, which I'm always excited if I don't have to freeze.
Yeah, let's go baseball. When's the last time they've made it to Omaha or made it to a regional?
I don't know if they've ever made it. I don't know if Little Rock's ever made it to the NCAA tournament in a long, long time.
Who's the second best baseball school in the state of Arkansas? Arkansas is one. Who is the second best? Is UCA
I don't know all the records right now, but okay. I would put A-State's had some problems.
And I don't mean this year. Just who in general is the second? I thought UALR was supposed to be the second best team in the state.
It might be UCA.
UCA?
Really. I mean, if you're looking at any sort of success in the postseason. Now, those teams have been in different leagues. The Sun Belt was really tough for Little Rock to get out of. I think the OVC is more their speed. But I think they were picked to win the Ohio Valley Conference. So Coach Curry's got a pretty good team, and they do have good teams in that league. Murray State's come out of that league before. I think they moved to the Missouri Valley Conference, but It's tough to keep up with all of that. And then LSU comes in, and I think this is a team that Arkansas should be able to score against. Now, they've got a Friday night ace, so, well, it's a Thursday series that starts. So Thursday's game could be low scoring again. So the pitcher that they'll throw Thursday, Matt, is the same pitcher that was the Alabama ace last year, who was scratched because of the tight back, and the coach, Bohannon, used that information to tell his buddies that you ought to put some money on that. And then he transferred to LSU. That's who's pitching at Bohm Walker Thursday.
Don't know if you've ever had a strained oblique, but it sounds like that might have been.
Never had a strained oblique. That was hilarious. For those who weren't listening Friday, that was Aaron Torres,
this
right?
Tyler, the point guard from Marquette, had a strained oblique, yeah.
Never know if you've ever had a strained oblique, Matt. Usually it's Matt, you know this better than others. So he should have just started it with that. You've had a strained oblique, right?
Oh, yeah. They're no fun. Any type of back tightness, any type of things like that, it's one of the most famous ones I think of, Phil, was Scottie Pippen when the Bulls were beating the Jazz, when, you know, Jordan pushed off. But Pippen had a bad back that series. Like, and all of a sudden he went up and dunked one and it just catches wrong. And then you're done. There's just nothing you can do about it. So you got to try to keep it as loose as you can.
Oblique is defined as nearly parallel nor a right angle to a specified or implied line. I guess that must have something to do with the way that the muscle connects to you.
Connected to your upper dorsiformis.
Of course.
Yeah. Your lateral sizemire.
I don't know if you're using real terminology or not. The sizemire, now I don't think that's a real thing. That's an actor. That was an actor, Tom Sizemire.
Yeah, your lateral whatever it is. Yeah, you know the dentist lingo.
Yes, I do. I would know some of that stuff, but I haven't worried about a ball player getting TMJ before. Worried about the oblique muscle for a hitter who can't swing the bat properly. That did crack me up, though. For those who, you don't always get a chance to see the look on Matt Jones's face, but that was a moment you wanted to see the look on his face. Jake B. said, UALR played Oregon State in the regional in 2011, won the Sun Belt tournament as the last seed. That's why I remember that year.
Last team out of the state of Arkansas other than the Razorbacks to make the tournament.
Well, I think UCA made one after that. I don't remember the year. It might have been 14 or 15. And they went to the regional final. I think that was in Starkville against Mississippi State. But I think it's been a while for Arkansas State. So if I were going to layer the teams in the state, Division I teams, Arkansas, then I think UCA, then Little Rock, then Arkansas State, and then UAPB. And the Hogs play all of them this year, every last one of them this year. Cody from Lavaca thinks 9 of the top 25 teams are SEC. You're probably right, but I haven't looked in the rankings. Hagan Smith, by the way, is the SEC pitcher of the week again. Sometime soon they'll just rename the award after.
How worried are you with anything that he just shuts down because he's going to be the number one overall pick in the draft?
It's not in him.
Okay.
I don't think that's in him.
I mean,
I don't think you see a lot of baseball players that do that.
Yeah. Well, as long as the season's going well, you know, but if it was a totally different reversal and it wasn't going as well.
Not a matter of like a shutdown, you know, but if the season were to go in the wrong direction, then I think you get guys that kind of are thinking about their draft status.
You got to protect yourself.
The team's record and how they're performing. They're just more worried about how did I look in this at bat instead of how did this affect the game that we're playing right now. But I don't see that with this. And certainly not with Hagan Smith, because this is somebody that's just been really selfless in how he has allowed the coaches to move his role, you know, as a starter, as a freshman that came out of the bullpen at times, and then as starter as a sophomore who then was moved into the bullpen in SEC play only to come back and start again. And now this year, it's just, I feel like you've seen the fruits of his patience, how the coaches have coached him, and all the hard work that he puts into it. I mean, that's the other thing about Hagan Smith that nobody sees is the amazing amount of work that he's gone into fine-tuning his command, which more than anything, that's what stands out about Hagan this year. He just commands his stuff that much better. He is throwing harder. He's got an extra pitch. He's added in with the splitter, but he just commands it so much better. That's all work. Now, the two other starters, you may need some more innings out of them. Brady Tigard hasn't thrown a full 5 innings in 3 starts. Mason Molina hasn't really gotten into the 6th inning too much. So if you worry about taxing the bullpen, that's where it might get taxed. But then I think it's a matter of, you know, hopefully Tigard gets to 5 innings. Then it's a matter of needing 8 innings from your bullpen the last 2 days of a series. And I think Tiger, they'll clean up whatever this mechanical issue is. And with Molina, it's just working so deep into the count that I think they're a little worried about him facing a lineup a third time because they see so many pitches the two times through the batting order. But it almost feels a little nitpicky because they've been pretty good up until here. But that might be an Achilles heel.
Right. Who's the fourth? Who's our fourth starter? Is it Fisher? Is it the true freshman? Do you think he's our fourth starter?
See, now that's the thing about moving forward that this week really means something. Because Fisher, I think they're viewing him as a starter, but also somebody that they really like in relief. He pitched well in Saturday's game, even though he allowed that go-ahead home run by Auburn. He shut him down after that. And I think, you know, he has started a few games. He's looked really good doing it. But Bibee coming back this week, that's somebody that also would get some Tuesday starts. Now, the next couple of weeks, you've got Tuesday and Wednesday games. So you need midweek starters in two of those games. Well, not next week, but the week after. So at some point, I would be surprised if both of those guys don't start a game midweek and then end up pitching on the weekend because they do have that kind of stuff. And maybe Hunter Dietz, you know, if he looks really good this week, maybe he's a guy that gets a chance to start. But I also, the way I look at this last series, Arkansas winning 2 out of 3 against Auburn, they blew the lead on Saturday, but 2 out of 3 against an SEC team will always work. And if it's a regional and you win your first two games, well, then you really have everybody else in the field at a huge disadvantage. And if you win the first two games of a super regional, there is no third game. This is a really difficult team to beat twice in a weekend. Will it happen at some point in the regular season? I'd be surprised if it doesn't, just because that's baseball and teams lose. But I think they're going to be incredibly difficult to beat twice in a weekend. And this weekend was also, we saw why. It's a team that fights. They fought on Friday. That game was crazy. They didn't get the greatest start from Brady Tigert. They trailed 3 different times. You know, Matt pushed all the right buttons, and they end up with a 6-5 win. I thought that win said a lot about this ball club. They're going to be really difficult to beat twice in a weekend this year.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.